Join us now for the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. On today's program, we present a special mission team chapel moderated by Mark Vowles, Director of the Office of Missions at BJU.
Good morning. For more than 20 years, Bob Jones University has sent out summer mission teams to the various locations around the globe. We've done this for a variety of reasons. Primarily, we do this because we want our students to experience mission work firsthand, have an opportunity in that environment to grow in Christ's likeness. We also do this because we want to provide missionaries, many of whom are our own graduates, with assistance in the various projects that they may be working on, various opportunities that are theirs in the summer months. And of course, we do this because it gives us an opportunity collectively to evangelize in numbers of places around the world. Today, we're going to hear testimonies from several students who participated in mission team work this past summer. First, we'll hear from Andrea Jeffcott, who will share a testimony of how God used the Central American team to further the work of missionaries where they served. Then Angela Short will explain how God used her experiences in the Ukraine mission team to teach her some important spiritual lessons. Thirdly, Jason Armstrong will testify to the Lord's goodness in bringing souls to himself through the ministry of the musical mission team. And then finally, Dr. Dan Olinger will tell us about the ministry he had teaching Bible in communist China this past summer. But before any of that, a combined choir made up of students and faculty who were members of mission teams this past summer will sing under the direction of Dr. Bill McCauley.
Thank you. name is Andrea Jeffcott, and I had the opportunity this summer to travel with the Central America Mission Team. One of the most exciting things to me about mission work is seeing churches started. This summer, I was able to see several small churches in the countries of El Salvador, Honduras, Guatemala, and Panama. My team traveled in the month of July, and we saw at least 11 different churches. One exciting way that we saw the Lord work, however, actually happened after we left. Our team was in Panama, right around the canal, with the Mavar family and the Perrys for 2 weeks. We held services in the areas of Santa Rita and Cerro Cama, where churches were already fairly well established. Mr. Perry told us the first day we were there of his burden to see a church started in his area of Arrejan. His plan while we were there was to hold services in a rented room for the 2 Sundays that the team would be in Panama. So in addition to the special meetings in the other 2 churches, our team walked all over Mr. Perry's neighborhood and handed out invitations to the special meeting. Mr. Perry wanted us to practice our music in the rented room so that people walking by would hear the music and the trumpets and come and find out what was going on. So the first Sunday came, and the Perrys, the Mavars, and the mission team showed up for the rented room. Service was supposed to start at 10 o'clock, and at 10 minutes to 10, one other family was there. But then in the next few minutes, the building began to fill, and by 10:15, over 50 people were there. We were so excited by the number of people who showed up and showed interest in starting a church in Arrejan. Mr. Perry announced that he would be holding services in his home after the team left, and we prayed that the Lord would start a church in Arrejan. After we returned to the States, we heard that the week after the team left, 22 people attended the service in the Perry's home. And since that week, just last week, actually, I received an email from Mr. Mavar, who said that since the team has been back in the States, every Sunday they've had around 33 people, as well as starting a youth meeting in someone else's home, and the church is underway in Arrejan. God promised to build his church, and one thing that this mission trip powerfully demonstrated to me is that God is not at all bound by finances, location, or culture. His plan for the church will be carried out. And I can't adequately express how thankful I am that the Lord allowed me the opportunity to see up-close mission work. And I would encourage you, if you have the opportunity, to really pray about going on a mission team. It was such a blessing to be an encouragement to the Perrys and the Mavars and to see this work get started. It is a tremendous blessing to be a blessing. And I'm excited to hear how the Lord uses this work in Arrejan. And I encourage you to pray with us for the church and its pastor in these beginning stages.
Hello, my name is Angela Short. I'm a sophomore, and I went on the Ukraine mission trip, and the Lord taught me so many things this summer, but just a few of the things that I would like to share with you. There are 3 major ones. The first thing that I learned was thankfulness. And living here in America, I never thought about how much I have to be thankful for. But then seeing the condition of the apartments and everything over there, it just really made me thankful for everything. One of the girls that I had the opportunity to witness to had been an orphan since she was 6 years old. She'd grown up in an orphanage, and now she was living by herself, supporting herself the best that she could, and she was only 19 years old. And suddenly, I was just so thankful for my parents and the tremendous encouragement and godly blessing that they have been to me. The Native Christians that we worked with taught me so much about being thankful. They have maybe a 4-room apartment, and that's all they have, and yet they praise God constantly for even that small amount. And it was just a great rebuke to me that I need to be praising God every day for what He's given me. The second thing that I learned about was prayer. Prayer was very important to our trip. We had daily prayer meetings every day. We met with our team members and also with the Native Christians that we would be working with. And it was so wonderful to see God answer our prayers. Sometimes we would pray something that morning, and then by that afternoon, God would have answered it in some way. It was such a blessing. 2 of our biggest prayer requests were for safety, of course, and then also for good contacts with people. There were at least 6 girls saved as a result of a Bible club that we did, and that was a real blessing. And then we passed out hundreds of tracts and Bibles in 3 major cities and in smaller villages all around the countryside. through all of the plane trips and the trains and vans and buses and crazy taxi drivers and miles of walking, everyone was safe. We didn't have any injuries, and that was a big blessing. The last lesson that I'd like to share with you is trusting God. And I learned that in such a big way. This was probably the biggest thing that I learned. Sometimes I had no idea what was going on, what we were doing, what we were supposed to be doing, but it was just wonderful to know that I could rely on God and that He had already planned everything that was supposed to be happening. And sometimes it was really hard because you think, we're over here to minister, Lord, so why is this thing happening or why is this really hard for us? But then we would see this huge prayer request answered, and it was such a blessing to see the Lord work in even things that we would consider setbacks. Something that was a big blessing to me that was pretty small was my reading glasses. And when I got on the plane to fly to Ukraine, I realized that I left them at home. And normally, if I read a long time without my glasses, I get really bad headaches and nothing will take it away. And so on the plane, I just prayed. I said, Lord, please, you know, help me to still do what I need to do, even though I'm going to be having a headache every day and I'll just have to live with the pain. And the Lord answered that prayer like I would not expect. I didn't have any headaches the entire 5 weeks. And it was really small, but it was such a blessing to know that the Lord was even in small, minute details like that. What I would like to close with is a verse that we all know, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all of thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. The Lord taught me that verse in a whole new way this summer. If you ever have the opportunity to go on a mission trip, I would say please go, because the things that you will learn, they're things that you will never forget, and you will treasure the memories for the rest of your life. Dr. Uwaro, our team leader, always said, we want to go and not just minister to the people, but be ministered unto. And that was definitely something that happened to me. Sometimes I felt like the people there were a bigger blessing than I was being to them. I learned so much, and I'm very thankful for the opportunity that I had to go and serve the Lord this summer. Thank you.
My name is Jason Armstrong, and this summer the Lord graciously provided for me to be able to travel with the musical mission team. Jeremiah 33:3 says, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And I truly saw that this summer on the music mission team. Our ministry started in Spain, in a small town called Olot. We saw the Lord answer prayer in a miraculous way. When we got there, we learned that because it was a public school, we were not able to pass out tracts there, where we weren't able to give a gospel message at the end. And really the only thing we could do besides to sing to give the gospel was personal conversations. But when most of us can't speak the language, it's hard to have a personal conversation with somebody you can't talk to or communicate with. So we knew as soon as we got there, we were going to be very limited, especially in this town, in our ability to communicate the gospel. But before our concert that afternoon, we prayed the Lord in our weakness would show his strength, and he truly did. After the concert, we had some opportunities through translators to be able to speak and share the gospel. But that afternoon, no one was saved. I thought for sure when we had prayed, the Lord would answer our prayers, but it seemed that he wasn't going to. However, that evening, at the evening service, two people made professions of faith. One right there at the service, and one said he would make the profession of faith afterwards in his home. And this was just the beginning of the trip. In that town, no one had been saved, from what the pastor knew, for over 15 years. So that was a huge answer to prayer. Also in Germany, in our last service in Germany, we're at a church where the people that were praying for the salvation of many of the young people in their youth group. They came to church, but only because their parents made them. And many of them did not even profess Christ. We tried to reach out to them, but they didn't seem to really have a whole lot of spiritual interest. That week, my grandfather had passed away unexpectedly. And the last night we were there, I was able to give a message on John 3:16 and conclude with the testimony of how my grandfather had recently gone to be with the Lord, inviting those who did not know the Lord to come to the cross and find in Christ their salvation before it was too late. Again, before we left, we had no clue that anything had gone on that night. We hadn't heard of any testimonies of salvation. But when we came back to the States, we received a report that I'd like to read to you from this church. The members of our church were really excited about your visit. We really hope you'll come back next year. I want to tell you something. I think you want to know it, and you'll be so glad about it as I. One girl at our youth group was saved on Thursday in the meeting as the musical mission team was here. And 2 weeks later, a boy of our youth group was saved too. I am so happy. I thank God for this. It is really an answer to so much prayers. Throughout our trip, the Lord in His grace had chosen to use us, who many times could not even communicate with these people, to bring in a harvest that these people had been sowing and watering for many years. The Lord is not limited by our weakness in accomplishing His work, but many times magnifies His power through our weaknesses.
My name is Dan Olinger. My family and I had the privilege of spending 5 weeks in China this summer as part of the university's team to Second Medical University in Shanghai. I have a question for you. How big is your God? Christ told us in John chapter 10 that He knows His sheep. He knows the ones who believe in Him, and He knows the ones who don't yet. And He will gather them from every people and tribe and kindred and nation. He will bring them in, and He has given us the privilege to be His, can I say, teammates, partners in that effort. Now, let me tell you something. God's going to gather His people from all of those places, with or without your help. God is not weak, and He doesn't need you. But He has given us the opportunity to join with Him in partnership in this labor. I'd like to tell you just a brief story of what happened in China. For several years now, BJU has been sending a team to Shanghai. Initially, Mrs. Paula Phillips of our nursing faculty went over there to teach English, and later she was joined by many others, including Mrs. Mary Lamb and her husband, Dr. Tom Lamb, of our faculty. And they have been going for several years now, taking a team with them, teaching English and teaching nursing courses to the nursing students there at the Health Technical College in Shanghai, which is part of the Shanghai Second Medical University. They've done an excellent job. And every summer, a good-sized team has gone over and has constituted their summer school faculty for the bilingual nursing school there. The goal of that nursing school is to train students who will operate with equal facility in either Chinese or English, and with equal facility in either China or the United States or Britain. That's a big order, and it has been your colleagues, your fellow students and faculty members, who have made that happen there. There are half a dozen or so teachers over there right now from Bob Jones University acting as the academic year faculty. And then in the summer, the team goes over and is the summer school faculty for the 4 weeks that we're actually teaching there. Well, last year, Mrs. Lamb was working with the administration of the school. Now, this is a state university in a communist country, in a country where house church pastors are still sent to labor camps, in a country where house churches are broken up and its people arrested, where if you are not a member of the party, and I'm not talking about a weekend event here, I'm talking about the Communist Party. If you're not a member of the party, your opportunities for advancement are very limited. And if anyone knows that you're a Christian, you are not a member of the party. This is a country, unlike the former Soviet Union, where there still is no religious freedom, where people are still persecuted for the name of Christ. Well, Mrs. Lamb was talking to the administrators there, and she said, well, one of the things we want to do, of course, is to prepare these students for, first of all, going to America to get their American licensure, to take the NCLEX exam, standardized exam here in America, and also to work in American hospitals and to fit into American culture in ways that do not shame them or dishonor them. That face-saving, of course, is very important in the Asian culture. And they said, yes, that's true. And she said, well, if you would like, as you know, America is a, there are a lot of Christians in America, and a lot of American culture is influenced by Christianity and the Bible. And they said, yes, we realize that, and that's okay. And for that, I am thankful for their approval. And she said, well, if you would like, I can have a teacher come from America and prepare your students to go to America and to fit in with the American culture, which is dominated by Christianity and biblical thought. And they said, that's a good idea. Why don't you have someone come from America to teach the Bible to these nursing students? Communist country, state university, party members. These are the people we're dealing with. And so I heard of this opportunity and jumped at it. And they paid my salary. They provided my housing for me and my family, other members of the team as well. They gave me a lecture room in which to teach, and they required the students at the training school to come to my Bible class. And let me tell you something. I stood in the front of that communist lecture hall and read, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." And a few days later, "God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." And it was a powerfully moving experience. Because I have another question for you. Who opened that door? Who did that? Was it Mrs. Lamb? Was she smarter than the commies? Mrs. Lamb is a smart lady. But she's not the one who opened that door, and she would not claim to be. God did that work. And I was there at his invitation and at his request and with his power and his endorsement. And unapologetically, for 4 weeks, I taught the Bible to these people. At the end of that time, I read their testimonies, and I was moved at the darkness in which they lived. And the light that had shined to some extent in their hearts. Next summer, we need more English teachers. We need more nursing instructors. We need people who are willing to be used by God, who could do it himself, but asks us to join him in that effort. We would like for you to consider joining us or these other teams in that powerful work. Thank you.
Thank you all for those good testimonies. Let me just say a brief word about raising money. Every year, students say, "I would like to do this, but I don't think I can come up with the money." I was thinking about this and how I would address this issue with you. And it occurred to me that over the years, I've been involved on a number of different levels in helping people raise money. I've been a missionary. I've raised my own missionary support. I've worked with a mission board in which I helped deputies raise support, short-term missionaries raise support, interns raise support. I've worked with our summer mission teams here at Bob Jones University, seen scores of students raise support. And as I thought about that, it occurred to me that in all of those experiences, I have never seen a single person, not one time, who was both called of God and diligent in the matter, not be able to raise support. In fact, I would say money should be the least of your concerns. If this is what God wants you to do, money should be the least of your concerns. God is certainly able, if he can open up a situation like we just heard in communist China, God is certainly able to supply for you the funds you need to be part of a summer mission team. As we close this morning, I want to share with you just one thought from the scripture. John chapter 1, we find John the Baptist giving the message of the kingdom, of the coming king. And he enthusiastically, powerfully, day after day, preaches, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." And he tells people about how there's one coming after him who's so great that he's not worthy to even bend down and unlace his shoe, the most menial possible task. And as John is preaching, delegation is sent to him from Jerusalem. He's the center of attention. The whole area is abuzz. People are literally flocking by the hundreds, perhaps thousands, to hear what he has to say. And yet, ironically, in the middle of all of that, John the Baptist really, humanly speaking, as far as a personal human relationship, doesn't really even know the Lord Jesus Christ. He had spent most of his life, that is, John had spent most of his life out in the wilderness, being prepared of God for this very ministry that he was now accomplishing. And in the middle of that circumstance, as he's preaching, as people are anxiously listening to every word, we come to verse 29 of John chapter 1. The Bible tells us that John sees Jesus coming unto him. That's a powerful statement. Here John is in the midst of all of this activity, and now Jesus is coming to see him. I remember the day I got married. Most of you here today aren't married. Some of you, especially those in the balcony, are. But I remember the day I got married. I think I'm married to the most beautiful woman in the world. She's kind of little, if you've seen her. Well, she's even smaller than Dr. Olinger. I mean, she's small. And usually if you see us together, I'm forging ahead and she's trying her best to keep up. And she's wonderful. But the day we got married, I remember standing in front of the church. And it was a church with a center aisle, and the bridesmaids and the groomsmen came down. It took absolutely forever. And then they started the wedding march. And in the back of the church, the doors were flung open. And I looked, and her dad comes around the corner. I thought, you know, what's this? But on her dad's arm, there she was. Glorious. Wonderful. I'll never forget that sight. And I wonder if that's not maybe just a little bit of what John the Baptist experienced that day. The Holy Spirit had to reveal to him this was the one. He didn't even know Jesus to look at him. But now, here he comes. And John is preaching and teaching, and maybe he can hear the crush of the rock beneath someone's feet, and he begins to hear the crowd rustle behind him, and he turns, and there he is! Jesus. And John cries out to the crowd, and he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." That's what missions is. Going someplace and telling someone, "Behold the Lamb of God." I've had the privilege of standing in churches in the middle of the jungle, churches in metropolitan areas that almost the congregation as big as this, and everything in between. And I can tell you, ladies and gentlemen, there is no greater thrill in all the world than to be able to say, by your life and by your words, to folks who maybe have not heard before, "Behold the Lamb of God." I hope many of you will take that opportunity this summer in one of the teams that goes to many of the places around the globe. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your goodness to us, for the way that you worked this past summer in these various teams and those who participated in them. Thank you for the work that was begun in Panama. We do pray for that ministry with the Perrys and the Mavars, that it would continue and prosper. For the souls that were saved there in Olot and the other cities that the musical mission team visited, we pray that you would continue to grow those people in Christ's likeness. For the various team members who, like Angela, were challenged in their own thinking and spiritual growth, we pray that you would raise them up to continue to serve you in the years to come. For the folks in China, we pray that many of those who heard the word of God would be converted, come to that Lamb who takes away sin. And for each of us, Lord, we pray that you would reveal your will and give us a determination to pursue what you call us to do.
You've been listening to the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Today you heard a special mission team chapel. For a cassette copy of today's program, send a check for $5.13 to Campus Store, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina 29614. be sure to mention that you would like the Mission Team Chapel. This program has been sponsored by Bob Jones University.